Good job,
little ones.
I think the toddlers were stealing the show there for a minute, right? I'm wondering if there's anybody that's thankful and would be willing to come up and tell me how thankful they are in front of everybody. And if they do, I've got a bag of beautiful candy here that'll rot your teeth. Dots, chocolate, Tootsie Rolls, and lots of junk. So who? Well, just come right up. That's all. Tell everybody your name. Speak loudly. Tell everybody your name and what you're thankful for. Okay, you got to be thankful for something.
My name's Tierra, and I'm thankful for my mom because she feeds me and she makes sure I have a house to sleep in, and she loves me.
Oh, that should do it.
My name is Alexis, and I'm thankful to have a church to be in.
Oh, wow.
My name is Jasmine, and I'm thankful for having a family.
Very good.
My name is Bella, and I'm thankful for Grandpa because he preaches.
Aww.
I'm thankful for my brother.
Your brother? Where is he?
In Mommy's tummy.
Oh. What's his name?
Josh.
Oh, boy. When's he coming? Is he coming soon? Like when? Tomorrow? No? Christmas? No. January? Yeah. Okay. Too bad he came a little early. We get a tax break. Okay, then.
I'm Elevate, and I'm thankful for this church because I learned about God.
Good for you.
Okay, sweetheart. My name is Elvie, and I'm thankful for my dad.
Where is he? You see your dad?
Way back there.
Where is he? That's your dad. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go, bud. Let's pass it on here. Sadie's coming up. Hello, Sadie.
I'm Sadie, and I'm thankful for my mom.
You are. Where is your mom? Can you see her? Aren't you thankful for your dad? You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just your mom tonight? Okay. Have a nice Thanksgiving. All right.
Hi, my name is Bella, and I'm thankful with my daddy.
Your daddy. Greg. You got these kids. Oh, there you go.
Okay, thank you for my daddy.
You are. Okay, Joanna. Here, baby.
I'm Ashlyn, and I'm thankful for my life that God gave me.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
My name is Kendall, and I'm thankful for Thanksgiving because I get to spend time with my family.
Really? Can I give you too many? Okay.
My name is Shauna, and I'm thankful for God that made me.
Yeah, that's a good thing to be thankful for.
My name is Courtney, and I'm thankful for God and everything He gave me.
My name's Sophie, and I'm thankful that our country's free so we can come here.
That's right.
My name's Karan, and I'm thankful for food.
Yeah.
Like what kind of food?
Anything.
My name's Josiah, and I'm thankful for the Bible so we can read His Word and believe
what's
in
your,
Him.
What's your favorite book in the Bible, Josiah? Which one do you like best?
John.
The Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite verse? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
You have a lot of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be enough. Okay.
My name is Amelia, and I'm thankful for my baby sister and friends and my brother.
Where's your baby sister? Is she making a lot of noise, Mia?
Nope.
Does she wake you up at night?
No.
No?
No, in my bedroom.
Oh, well, so she never wakes you up?
No.
She's a good sister, I'll tell you. You want to keep her. Right? Spencer, we want to come up here. Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Spencer, and I'm thankful for my baby sister.
You are. Where is she? Do you see her? Where? I don't see her anywhere. Oh, she in the carrier back there. Oh, she's way back there. Does she keep you up at night, Spencer?
No.
No? Okay.
She doesn't wake me any night.
She doesn't? Okay.
My name is Alicia, and I'm thankful for my family and my cousins.
Really? Okay, sweetheart. Well, who's next? There we go, Christine.
I'm Christina, and I'm thankful for Jesus because he made this world so we can live in it.
That's a good thing to be thankful for. Okay, sweetheart. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is William, and I'm thankful for my friends and family.
All right, William. There you go, sir.
I'm thankful for my house because I like it and I want to stay in it.
You do? Where's your house? Is it near here?
It's next to a mountain.
It's next to a mountain?
It's just next to a mountain.
Do you have your own room? Oh, that's nice. All right. He does. Oh, I see. Hi, Vi. You want to come up here? Here, tell everybody who you are. You turn around. They can't see you. It's scary, believe me. I have to do it every week. Who are you? Tell everybody who you are, Violet. Oh, you got shy. I'm Violet. I'm thankful for... What are you thankful for? Your mommy?
Your dad?
Your dad? Your thumb to suck? Here, bye. Okay, that's good. You did a good job.
I'm Stacy. I'm thankful for my family and friends.
Stacy? You don't want this junk. This is junk food. Okay, Stacy. Who else is thankful? That's it? Nobody else is thankful. Nobody else out there. This is your chance. You could be, you could get some free candy here. All right. Well, I'm sure everybody here is thankful for something. We might be a little mic shy, but our hearts are grateful. God has been good. He's just done great things for all of us, hasn't he? He has done great things. We've been studying the book of Daniel quite a bit, and we think of all the things that Daniel went through. In fact, Sunday I'm preaching on the lion's den, which is one of the most famous passages in the scripture. Everybody knows the story of Daniel and the lion's den. So we're really going to elucidate those points. It's very important for you to be here for it. But, you know, he wasn't alone there, was he? The Lord was right with him. And some of us feel sometimes like the Lord's just forsaken us, but he's right close to us, so we're going to learn more about the goodness and the thanksgiving prayers that Daniel put up while he was in the midst of this terrible struggle. I also wanted to mention we're going to do What Child Is This on December the 20th, so you don't want to miss that. There'll be a Christmas Eve service, obviously a Christmas Eve, so be involved for all of those good things. Well, let's talk this week. You know, we've been studying from 1 Thessalonians on Wednesday night Bible studies, and I've always found it interesting that the Lord, whatever we're talking about, it almost meshes with what's going on in the world and situations in the world, and in some cases even the calendar. And in this case, we're only at the second verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, and guess what we find there? Well, these words: we give thanks to God always. So God, kind of arranges that we're going to have that verse for tonight's lesson. So the lesson is about giving thanks. And not just giving thanks, but giving thanks always. Now, we're reminded of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, I have a special reason to be thankful. I'm just thankful that I can speak. I'm thankful right now that I can think clearly. And that wasn't the case back in April. As most of you know, I had a little episode in April. So, and that episode could have debilitated me for life. It's when you have a stroke, that sometimes is fatal. Other times it's so debilitating that you can't do what you used to do. And that would have been a great concern to me. Because I want to end my life preaching the word. I don't want to be in a situation where I can't speak any longer. I don't know what you're going to do with me, for instance, when I'm senile and, you're going to have to cart me out of here, I guess. I don't know how you're going to handle that, but that'll be your problem. At any rate, so I have a stroke. They rush me down to the hospital, and I'm in an ambulance and so on, and I'm not even too much aware of what's going on. It wasn't something that was frightening because I didn't really think there was anything wrong. They kept telling me, move your hands. I was sure I was moving them, but I wasn't. So they wanted me to smile a lot, which I was doing that. I couldn't get this side up, I guess, but I didn't know that. I thought I was doing everything that they were asking me to do, but I wasn't. I had stroked. So they rushed me down to the hospital, and within 3 or 4 hours, they found that I was getting everything back. So they normally call that a mini stroke, but they went in for an MRI, and they said it wasn't a mini stroke. It was an actual full-blown stroke, and that a blood clot had reached my brain. It had knocked out an area of my brain. And we got to figure out why. So they started asking me all these questions. Do I have high blood pressure? No. Am I overweight? No. Do I smoke or drink? No. Never have. Never touched the stuff. So they go down the whole long list of things. And thankfully, a physician came in, and he said, I want to do a test in your heart to make sure we're looking for something. So they did a dye test, an echocardiogram with a dye that they shoot into your heart. And when they came back, they were all excited. They said, we found out why you had a stroke. And I said, well, why? They said, well, it's because you have a hole in your heart. I said, I have a hole in my heart. And I thought to myself, well, you can't be serious. I have a hole in my heart. And here, all these years I've been praying for a holy heart. And the angels messed up the message, and I end up with a hole in my heart. So there's a picture of it, too. That's what the hole looks like. And it's not that big. I don't want anybody getting that worried. But it's, what did they say, seven millimeters, or it's like an inch. I don't know why we're doing metrics. I mean, we're not in England. But it's about an inch. And so they said they were all happy that they found it. They said there's good news and bad news. The good news is that we know why you had a stroke. The bad news is you have a hole in your heart, and it's the worst kind of hole you can have. But they said, in a sense, it's a good hole because it can be repaired. So that was pretty good news. They called it an ASD, or an atrial septal defect. And they said everybody from childhood actually has a hole in their heart, and it closes up within several weeks to a month after your birth. But if it doesn't close up, as in my case, you've got blood going through an area that is unoxygenated, and it can create all kinds of adverse effects, which I've never noticed in 64 years, but they said not good, and they gave me the illustrations and so on. And so they said that blood clot had found that hole, and it went right through into my brain and lodged up into an area and created damage up there. So I got to learn more about the hole in the heart, and the doctors explained that everybody has a hole in their heart. You know, I find this so interesting. We're all born with a hole in our heart. And we need to have it healed up. How are we going to do it? Well, thankfully, at least in the physical side, there was a doctor that could do it for me, a good physician. And I liked him a lot. His name was Anson Smith. And he's the only person, they tell me, he's the only person that does this procedure in Pittsburgh. And so they went in to do this procedure. They went inside and they found the hole, just like that. They opened up this little parachute and they pulled it through, just like that, and super glued it. And then on the other side, bubble gum. And they put that right in there like that, released it, and then left. That was it. I wanted to see the procedure. And they said, no, you're not going to see this. And because they have to put a tube down your throat, and that shines through the heart. And that's the camera looks through your esophagus at your heart. It's amazing what they're doing. You know what I mean? If you think about it. It's even more amazing that you and I sign off and say, go ahead, do it. You know, what's the difference? So they go ahead and do it. And I'm sure glad I got it fixed. They said, it's a good thing you did. They said, you know, I said, well, I've had it for 64 years. And the doctor came in and he said, no, you've got to have this fixed. This is serious. It's going to get bigger as you get older and you could die. And they're telling me all those things. And I said, well, okay. I said, I'll sign up for it. You know, let's do it. Oh, well, we can't do it for 40 days. The doctor has a special engagement. He's speaking over here and so forth. So we line it up. So it's really important that we get it done. So much so that they could wait for 40 days. What if I died during that day? Can you imagine how they'd feel? Augustine said an interesting thing centuries ago. He said, as a prayer, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. Everybody's born with a hole in their heart. I don't know if you still have the hole in your heart or not, but something has to happen. We need to perform a surgery on you so that we can heal up that hole that's in your heart. That hole can't be healed by Dr. Smith. A great physician has to heal this hole. His name is Jesus. And if we have one thing to be thankful for tonight, it's eternal life in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a wonderful comfort it is to be in the hands of the Lord. And when we go through our little events, and some of us go through events all the time. Charity just went through an event, didn't you, hon? And Bell's palsy, that's not a fun thing. And they probably had to figure out whether you had a stroke or not, and they had to eliminate that. And thank God it was something that will go away. And is it going away? I can't see. But you're nodding your head, so. Okay. A little droop or something? Well, that goes away with time, and thank God for that. But so you have a lot to be thankful for. You should have come up and got a bag of candy. But Jesus said a wonderful thing. It was the day of Sukkoth. You know, when you see the Jews putting up their tents and they go, the Orthodox Jews, and they go outside and they're there for 8 days because they're celebrating a marvelous feast. And it was a celebration of God's provision for his people, how God takes care of his people and how he takes care of all of us. So every day to me is a Sukkoth. Every day is a day that we're thankful for what God has provided to us. But in John chapter 7, when Jesus celebrates the feast of Sukkoth, he stands up in the midst of them and he cries, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What they would do is they would pour out all the water on the ground in the Middle East. That was an expensive thing to do. Perhaps, in a sense, a rather dangerous thing to do. But the Jews had to illustrate that they were trusting their God, that God would fill up their water pots again. Very valuable in the Middle East, water. You don't waste it. But in this case, they poured it out saying, God will fill this up for us. And so when Jesus stood and cried in that feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what Jesus was talking about here was the hole that's in everybody's heart. He's using metaphorical terms, but he's talking about the belly. And that's the inner part of us. And look, most of the time, our belly is empty, isn't it? And it growls out and says, I'm hungry, right? And so out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. So God is talking here in metaphorical terms about the emptiness that's inside, the thirst and the hunger for God that every man is born with, a hole in your heart. And God wants to fill that. This word belly is interesting. If you go back to the original language in the Bible, kolos, you think of the colon. That's the empty place in you in the intestines, right? Some of you here over 50 have had a colonoscopy. Let's not get into it. And if you haven't had one yet, you can't wait. You can't wait for it. It's that wonderful, the day before. So the word belly in the Greek is actually kolos, and it's actually taken. We get that Greek word and we extrapolate it into an English word, colon. So the colon is the belly, the empty part that's in all of us. And so when Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, out of his belly, out of his emptiness shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. Listen, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. That's what it is to be born again. We're born of His Spirit, the Scripture says. And that Spirit now takes control and fills that emptiness, that hole in your heart. Blaise Pascal, the French Christian philosopher, said, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries to in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object. In other words, by God himself. If you're ministering to people, and all of us should be if we're Christians, Christians aren't supposed to sit idly by. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So we're supposed to be lighting the world with the gospel. People should be knowing Christ because they know us. We should be pointing it out to them. We're facing a world of people that are quite empty. They're running on empty. They're doing everything they can, like Alice in Wonderland, running as fast as she can and going no place. Frenetic energy misspent in a world and on a world of pleasure that cannot satisfy and cannot fill that hole, that vacuum that's in every one of us. Emptiness. I meet empty people every week, and I'm trying to fill them up with something. I preach at the jail at one of the units, and there's a woman guard there. She said, Pastor Gary, you make my day when you come. And I said, well, why is that? She said, well, everything's going terrible. It's miserable. And she said, I call it Terrible Tuesday. And she said, she has her days off on Sunday and Monday, so that means she can come to church. And she said, I call it Terrible Tuesday. I come back and there's nothing but troubles, and the inmates are like animals, and everything's going crazy, she said. And in the middle of all this, she said, you come in. And she said, everything changes as soon as you come in. I said, well, really, thank you. And what we're doing there is filling up empty lives that have misspent their lives on foolishness, just like you did before you were saved, and then filling it up with something. Everybody knows it. Something's missing. That's why they're looking for something. They're searching frenetically for something to fill that hole in the heart. And nothing fits. No peace fits in that area but Jesus. So people try everything you can imagine. Sex can't fill it. Certainly not drink and drug. They can't fill it. Other relationships that people think when they have their midlife crisis, they're going to find somebody else and that'll fill it up. That doesn't do it either. Money certainly can't do it. So the answer, Jesus. Only Jesus can fill the hole in the heart. Only Jesus Christ can fill that emptiness, that void. In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. He's going to fill up the kolos. He's going to fill up the emptiness, and we're going to commune with him. We will sup with him. Other metaphor. In other words, he's going to fill us with something. He's going to fill us with his own spirit. So if you have nothing to be thankful for, thank God that you found the missing piece of the puzzle and that it's there now and it's in the heart and we're satisfied. There's an inward man and there's an outward man. And the Bible tells us, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the outward man is perishing. We all know that physically. We can tell it. We can see it. But the inward man, well, that's renewed day by day. Our light affliction, but for a moment, the scripture says. So we've got that inward man, and then we have the new man that's renewed day by day. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we give thanks to God always. What a great passage we have before us in our study. And how serendipitous that we should be studying this very passage at the time that we have Thanksgiving. And we have to recall that what he fills us with is the gift of his Spirit. And what does he put there but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Galatians tells us the fruit of the Spirit. And so now we have something indeed to rejoice over, the wonderful gifts of Almighty God. So, tonight, if you're not saved, well, you need to open your heart and let Jesus come in. You need him to be your Savior. You need to ask him to forgive your sins. And a long time ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took our sins. He nailed them to that cross, and he became a substitute for all of us. Our death and our hell and everything that we should have gotten from the judgment of God is transferred to his account. And he, thank God, pays the bill in full. And so then he says, I will send to you another comforter, and the Holy Spirit will live in you, and he will satisfy you and send his fruits. So we have this marvelous cornucopia that God has provided, great fruits of the Spirit, and giving to us today a reason to give thanks. So let's pray. And so, Father, we're just glad to be in the house of God tonight. We've certainly heard the beautiful songs, the angelic songs from these little ones. They are the pure in heart indeed, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for the world that they're in. We pray, Father, with all this nonsense and foolishness that is going on around us, that you will protect them, Lord. But, Lord, you're going to have to make them strong Christians. We're leaving the days, I'm afraid, where it was an easy thing to be a Christian. It seems as though we're entering an age where we'll have to take a stand for Christ. And our young people are going to have to learn to stand up for Jesus, as they did tonight. And I pray, Father, that you will show us great mercies. Lord, it was back in 2001 when the terrorists came for the first time to our shores and created their violence and their evil. But now, Lord, we're receiving them in hordes. We're welcoming them into our communities, and certainly some of them are going to bring mayhem with them. And dear God, we pray your protective hand upon us as we go through whatever's coming next. I pray, Father, for your guiding hand. The politicians are not listening to you, Lord. They're following evil spirits. They are being demonically influenced and to our own destruction. But, Lord, we know that you're greater than any demonic influence. And so, Lord, we are trusting you for our destinies. And whatever you call us to be in the midst of this conflict, Lord, I pray that you will add to us the strength, the faith, and the grace that we will need to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand. We've been reminded, Lord, of the good things that thou hast done. We heard the singers tell us, thank you for the good things. And Lord, tomorrow we'll gather together and ask the Lord's blessings. I pray for our families, Lord. Some of them are not saved people. They know about you, but they really don't know you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we'll see them come to true conversion and that they will walk with Jesus by faith. We ask, Father, that you will bless and touch our family members that are sick and our congregation in particular, Lord, where we have people that are suffering. I pray for Barb and Papado in her time of great need now, Lord. We pray that you will rush your healing powers and that you will lift her spirit, Lord. Such a vital member here. We pray for mercy. We pray for your hand to lift her up and to defeat this cancer, Lord. For all others that are going through their troubles and trials, Lord, that you will look upon us kindly, that you will provide our every need according to your riches and glory. I pray, Father, that you will draw back those who have faded away, who are backslidden and perhaps not even saved. Help them again, Lord, to remember the old gospel that they heard. How many years, Lord, we have done programs. We think of all the different young people that sang up here on this auditorium. In this auditorium, sang the same things, dressed as pilgrims and dressed as little Indians. And where are they now, Lord? And what are they engaged in? It troubles our heart, Lord, that the devil has taken so many of them away. And we pray that you will revive that word that is in their hearts, certainly, Lord. That you will help them to feel guilt, that you will help them to fall on their knees, that you will bring them to a powerful turnaround, and that their lives will then be a testament of the grace and power of God. Lord, look kindly upon all of the needs. I pray, Father, again, that you will touch in mighty ways and move in mighty ways in our family. Unite our hearts to fear your name, Lord. And I pray that our parents here will be strong parents, that will be good and godly guides, exemplars of what it ought to be a Christian. We pray, Father, that our little ones can look up to us and not see hypocrisy and foolishness in our lives. They will see people that truly and honestly love God and fear his name and do his will. So, Lord, all this blessing we pray tonight upon us as we leave here, give us a safe journey. Give us a safe time in our holidays, Lord. We pray that Jesus Christ will be lifted up in every service that we have. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming.